What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. Today's episode, we're going to talk about getting leaner for the summer months. That's right. It's a popular topic. This is what we're working on with a lot of our one-on-one clients. This is the time of year. April, May is when people start reaching out and they're like, oh shit, summer's basically here. What do I do? And I'm like, well, what you should have done was started a while ago. But with our one-on-one clients, it's been March, April is typically when we really hit it with fat loss phase to get them leaner for the summer months. Look, I think that it's important that we talk about vanity because there's nothing wrong with it. If you have an aesthetic goal, it's a beautiful thing. Nobody gets to tell you what you should or should not strive for. Personally, I always set up my fat loss phases, usually one a year, that starts right around the new year. And I know that I'm going to end around this time. So I'm currently in my reverse diet because I don't want to diet over the summer. I want to be leaner over the summer. I want to look better when I typically am wearing less clothes, where I would have my shirt off more often, sitting by our pool or going to the beach or whatever. That's my personal preference, and nobody gets to tell me what I should or shouldn't do. But what's frustrating for a lot of people is when they recognize that they want to look better during the summer months, and then it's too late because they waited and didn't recognize how to properly set things up. So with our one-on-one clients, this is usually the reminder period of like, hey, we're if this is a goal. Now, for a lot of them, we've been working on it already and have had plenty of time to prepare. But for some newer clients or for some people who are just kind of like recognizing that time is running out, this is it. Like, now is the time. Because even if you're like, think about it. If we start now, it's April. If we go 2 months, you know, we're talking about April to May, May to June. That's not that long of a fat loss period. If we go 8 weeks, maybe we're getting 10 pounds off. Maybe we're getting, you know, 12 to 15 in an ideal world. But really, like, it's now. The most important thing that I will say, and I'm going to go in a little more depth on this, but and give some actionable advice. But this process starts well before the fat loss phase. And I think if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, hopefully you already know that. Hopefully I've kind of drilled that repetitively, that the success of your fat loss phase is not what you do during fat loss. It's what you do well before and afterwards. And I think a lot of times we screw up the before and we screw up the after. Most people have no problem dieting. Most people have no problem reducing calories and just sucking it up for a period of time, but that's not what creates success. That's what creates temporary success. You might see some temporary movement on the scale, but that's not at all what creates long-term sustainable success. And the reality is, if we're not building the foundation beforehand, fat loss will be temporary. If we're not properly solidifying our results afterwards, it will be temporary. So, it is the Wednesday edition. And first of all, the last episode that I recorded, hopefully you were able to kind of slug your way through it because it was not my finest hour of work or 45 minutes or however long the episode was. I could sit here and make excuses and talking about how I was traveling and tired and recovering and all that stuff. But, you know, we all have our days. It was not my finest piece of work, and that's okay. I actually got a lot of funny comments from people who are like saying that I was making them laugh with the fact that I could not get my words out. I couldn't, my brain was just not processing, you know, like you go to retrieve information and it's just not coming out. Even information that I'm like reading off of notes and I'm like looking at studies and research and I'm just, all I have to do is read and I was still struggling. So I appreciate the comments of support. My interpretation was, yeah, that was really bad, but you made us laugh, so it's all good. Anyway, hopefully this will be a little redemption. But first, because it's Wednesday, the Wednesday edition, it's not actually Wednesday as I'm recording this. It is Monday. Mondays are actually becoming one of my favorite days of the week, which may be a surprise. But the reason is because I actually like the fresh start from a, because of the nutritional phase that I'm in, first of all. So coming off of a lot of weekend indulgences because I was traveling and now I'm in my reverse, I have more flexibility. I do like the fresh start of, okay, I'm refocused. I'm ready to hit my reverse diet numbers and also see firsthand that the damage is not that bad. Like being able to travel, enjoy myself. I had a few drinks. I was at an event called Coaching Con in Orlando. And got back on Saturday night late. And then Sunday I ate like an asshole again. So, but I like to be able to see that I can recover from that pretty quickly. So I like Monday as like the fresh reset button. It feels good. And then it's kind of more indicative to how I live during the summer months too. So it's almost like now I'm not like traveling all that frequently, but it's more about the fact that the weekend, you know, the weekends are a little bit more flexible. And I will make more choices that are, you know, restaurant meals, a little more alcohol than usual. So it's nice to be able to see what I can get away with. It's almost like a trial run. It's almost like testing the limits and seeing, okay, if I eat and drink like that and I come back and then I dial it in, you know, let's say Monday through Friday, where do I end up? And then that kind of gives me a solid barometer of when it is, you know, more of a repeated thing, because not every weekend's like that. But when I am kind of moving towards that flexibility and freedom direction, what's that going to look like in practical application? It is kind of like a trial run. So I like that. But most importantly, Mondays, I get to play tennis with my dad. And what's better than that? I mean, first of all, playing tennis in general brings me joy. But the fact that my dad is 74 years old and still able to get out on a tennis court and that we get to play in a drill together, it's pretty damn meaningful. And I don't take it for granted, the fact that, number one, that I still have my dad around, that he is still active enough to be able to play tennis with me, especially after he was, you know, he had to go through double bypass surgery. What year was that? Was that in 2020? Yeah, 2021. In 2021, he had to go through double bypass surgery. And pretty crazy, just like somebody active and healthy like that. So these moments of being able to play for 90 minutes in a drill with him, and there's usually like six people in the drill, and it's good. It's, you know, fast paced. We get to run, we get to, you know, play, and it's something that I look forward to every single week. I usually play twice a week in the Monday. I have to drive quite a bit, like 45 minutes or 50 minutes to play, but it's worth it. Anyway, that's why I like Mondays. And when I'm recording on a Monday, that means I'm recording for the Wednesday episode. So I get to give away a free supplement, which is also fun. So we have a 5-star review, and the winner is Kim Daniels. The review title says, "Learn something every time." And the review says, "I love this podcast. I appreciate the real talk and direct, honest content. I look forward to every new episode and I always learn something. I listen on my way to and from work. Sometimes it's just a simple fact that I need to hear to reset my thinking. Thank you for the great content." Thank you so much, Kim Daniels. If you want to email me, mike@peakoptimizationperformance.com, and let me know what supplement you want to try, what product you want to try. You've got your pick of the litter from Organifi, Legion Athletics, or Cured Nutrition, and you can go to each of their individual sites. You can browse through all the products that they have, and you can let me know which product you would like to try, and we will send it to you totally free. And for, if you have not already entered the weekly giveaway, It's super simple. You just leave a 5-star rating and review. Now, I don't expect many 5 stars after the last episode, but maybe after this one, you'll be more inclined. So all you have to do is open up the podcast app on your phone, tap the search button, type in Mind Over Macros, click on the show, like the thumbnail, and then scroll down until you see the ratings and reviews. And then you can write a little something, something, submit it, and you are eligible to win. And that gets announced every single Wednesday. And of course, if you're not already following or subscribed to the show on whatever podcast platform you listen on, please, please do me a favor and subscribe. I'll tell you real quick, the travel situation. Oh my God, I had the worst. I don't know, at this point, it's been, when did I leave? I left last Wednesday in the evening. So that was when there was like crazy storms all over the country. And a lot of flights were delayed and canceled. And I was waiting because I took a later flight. So I was kind of waiting to just hear that it was canceled or delayed or something. And I kept checking, and the flight was on time. And I was flying out of Philadelphia to Orlando. And nothing, like, they were sending weather alerts, like severe weather alert. It was raining all day. It was nasty out. And I'm like, okay, surely I'm going to get something. But it kept saying like the flight is on time. And a lot of other people who were going to the same event were posting in the Facebook group that their flights were getting delayed and canceled. And there was all these issues flying. So I'm like prepared. I'm like, all right, well, you know, worst case scenario is, you know, I can't make it, or I have to fly out a day later or whatever. But nothing. So I get to the airport, go right through security, TSA pre-check for the win. It's the best investment ever. I think it's like $100 and it covers you for like a number of years. I actually do global entry because it comes with pre-check, and usually Mel and I will get out of the country once per year. And that saves a ton of time, you know, coming back into the country. But anyway, pre-check is such a lifesaver and a time saver. But you go right through security, everything's fine. You know, we get on the plane, and then, you know, it's like, man, it's kind of pouring out. What are they going to do? Okay, no issues. We're going to take off. All right, let's do this. So flight takes off, and oh my God, like from the minute that we took off and are starting the ascent, like I'm full on, both hands gripping the armrest, and it is crazy. Like I've flown a lot in my life. I've used to fly all the time out to San Diego because I always had family out there. My grandfather and my sister for a period of time. And it was like a family tradition type of thing. So from the time that I was born, for like the first 16, 17 years of my life, we would fly out to San Diego regularly. And that's a cross-country trip. I am very acclimated to flying. I've been through turbulence a million different times. Usually my limit, like typically what I do is I just, if it's turbulence and I know it's normal, then I don't react. If it's somewhat aggressive turbulence, I'll just look at the flight attendants and see how they're reacting, and then that calms me down. This was, I didn't even need to look at the flight attendants. This was like the most next level of turbulence. I'm sitting here like, why the hell did we take off? This was such a bad idea. And the plane is like shaking and bouncing, and like there's collective gasps happening from the plane. And I'm like texting Mel because I got on the plane Wi-Fi, and I'm like, this is scary. Like, I don't know what's happening right now, but I was like all prepared. I was going to send a message to her and just be like, hey, I love you so much, and you're the greatest person ever. And, you know, I'm so grateful for you. I'm like thinking in my mind, like, what do I make it just like a short to the point? Like, I love you more than anything in the world. What do I say? And then I'm like, how do I get that message across? And then also text my family. Like, all these thoughts are swirling in my head. And like, you know, you have the what's it going to happen? How's this going to unfold? And I'm like, hopefully it's just quick, just get it over with. That was like a full blown hour of just, they told the pilot, got on, tells the flight attendants not to move. Basically, it's like, please stay in your seats, flight attendants, please stay in your seats. We're not going to do any drinks, no beverage service. That's all. Like, we don't get give me like a vote of confidence, like, oh, this will only last another however long or whatever. But no, it was just telling them not to move. And I'm like, great. And I was going to pull out my laptop and do some work, but there was absolutely no chance that was happening. It was way too bumpy and just, frightening. So that lasted for about an hour. And then finally things smoothed out for like the last 90 minutes or so of the flight. But man, I was, and then what was funny, not really funny, but what was interesting was that getting to the event, I'm like telling everybody this story and everyone's like, yeah, same. Like everybody who flew there had the same exact experience who actually got on a flight and was able to make it. They were all like, one person said that their flight attendant threw up like on the flight. And that's normally who you look for a vote of confidence. And if they're like, that would have scared the shit out of me, but everybody had the same experience. And so if you flew on that day, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And hopefully you did not, because yeah, all I could think about was why did they make this decision? Why would they take off during this mess? But we made it, and that was that. So while I was there, I actually started out with the intent of like, I don't need to eat and drink like an asshole. So my going into it, I knew I was going to have more flexibility, but when I got in Wednesday night, I was so hungry, and just ordered like from the hotel. I just got like a salad with grilled chicken. And then during the event, like these are long days. These are like 8 a.m. start time. I had to do a bunch of work. So I'm waking up at like 4 in the morning, trying to get everything done in like the first 4 hours of the day, and then going to the event. And there's like sponsors there, but there's nothing provided in terms of food, but there's like sponsors like First Form who had a booth that you could pick up some, they were just giving away protein bars and beef sticks and things and energy drinks. So my breakfast, well, I brought with me no Cal bars because I prefer that because they're gluten-free, although First Form apparently has gluten-free bars as well. But that was my breakfast every morning, was a no Cal bar. And then I would grab one of their beef sticks, which has 20 grams of protein, which is great. Then we would get a break for lunch. So initially I was starting out with like conservative choices, salad, grilled chicken type of thing. But then the first night I went out to a steak dinner, was networking, met some cool people. We went out for steak, and that was a situation where I barely ate most of the day. So I was totally cool. Had a couple glasses of wine, had a big 12-ounce filet, some fries, indulged, but didn't, that was fine. And then from that point on, I was just kind of in like, fuck it, I'm just going to order what I want. I got some ice cream one night. I got some birria tacos, some like a steak fajita sandwich. And anyway, and then I came back on Sunday and, Saturday night, I ordered and had pizza because I came home. I landed late Saturday night and I was starving again. And I was like, all right, Mel, I need some pizza. So we ordered that. And then Sunday I continued to indulge. Now, the only reason why I share this is because I think sometimes there's the perception that, as a coach, we keep our shit together. Even when we travel, I had the best of intentions. I was going to keep things relatively conservative. I didn't view this as a trip where it was like Mel wasn't there with me. It wasn't like anything that really warranted a YOLO type of mindset. But it just happened. It wasn't really planned. It wasn't really intentional. That's kind of the direction that I went. The most important thing is that it doesn't really faze me anymore. It used to faze me. It used to send me into an overcompensation pattern of, all right, now I have to go back and starve myself. And I probably, if this were, a few years ago, I probably would have just gone back into my fat loss numbers. But now it's just a casual, like, okay, fresh start Monday. Clean slate. We know what we're doing. Like back to the the habits and the foundation that we've built. The one thing I will say, despite sitting in a conference all day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I got my steps. One day I had 15,000 steps. The other day I had 13,000. I think one day I had, I think on my travel day, I had 9,000, which was my lowest. So not too bad. And those are the things that I think go a long way. Number one is steps. Number two is I still prioritize protein no matter what. And the one thing that I hope that you took out of the last episode, despite how poorly it was delivered, was that protein is kind of a big deal. And that's one of the things that's, it's just how my brain works now. I kind of view food through protein. As weird as that sounds, that's kind of how my brain processes nutrition. It's just, I look at a menu and I immediately process it through protein. Now, that doesn't mean that I always make the highest protein choice. What I'm saying is I will never order a meal that's absent of protein. I will never have a day where I'm just like, protein's not, I'll find a way, whether that's through bars or, you know, shakes or core power drinks or whatever convenience option there is, beef jerky, anything. I just process it through the lens of protein. And that's one of the things that can make such a big difference in results is if you just walk and you have that protein first mindset, you really can get away with a lot. Everybody is different in what they can get away with, but that is such a huge difference maker. So I don't feel all that bad about everything that happened. Normally it would have sent me into a overcompensation pattern. But now today is Monday, fresh start. Already had my normal breakfast. There's something about meal consistency. Like I have the meal structure in place that I can just naturally fall back into. Same breakfast every single morning. Same lunch, same dinner. Even though the food options might adjust, it's the same structure. And the snacks, same thing. Like I'll still have my no-cal bar today because that's part of my normal snack routine. I still have my turkey wrap. I do a egg white wrap with turkey, like deli turkey, and Laughing Cow cheese. And then I usually have my Siete chips as a side with that. Like the there's some like habanero Siete chips that I absolutely love that I usually have as my side. Those are gluten-free. But like that's part of my snack routine. So like the meal structure is already in place. I don't have to think about it. There's not a lot of energy, mental energy expended thinking about how do I get back on track? Because my norm is very much ingrained. And then it's just doing it. It's just following the habitual pattern that I'm accustomed to. So that's the reason why I share that from personal story, that personal side of it is because that's the work that actually matters. The work that made the biggest difference is establishing the norm, establishing the default patterns, establishing those habits where it doesn't take mental energy. Like a lot of times when we think about quote unquote getting back on track, a lot of times that's restriction. A lot of times that's doing things out of the norm. So it's not really back on track. It's actually forcing a different path that you're not really accustomed to. There's all of these rules and there's all of these restrictions and it's very extreme. That's not a track. That's not a long-term track anyway. That's just you trying to overcompensate or you trying to force an outcome without making that a solidified process. I hope that difference makes sense because I used to be in that like, okay, I'm going to get back on track, AKA, I'm not going to eat anymore. Like no sugar, no carbs. Everything is perfectly clean, like nothing quote unquote bad. That used to be my mindset when I would overindulge. I would drink a little bit too much. I would overindulge and it was always let's overcompensate with this track that's not really a track. The get back on track phrase should mean get back to normal. And normal should mean quality food choices, not overly restrictive. You kind of have the same structure in place. And that takes some time to build. And if you take the time to build it, it makes everything else so much easier. The clients that we're working with who are crushing their fat loss goals, it's because of the foundation. It's because we build the foundation first. And then that makes fat loss so much easier. And when I say foundation, all I mean is we're working on their mindset, their relationship with food. We're working on the flexibility and moderation of incorporating foods that they enjoy without overdoing it. We're working on quality habits that serve them, you know, hydration and walking and stress management and sleep and protein and food quality. And then there's just a subtle manipulation of quantity that allows for results to happen very effortlessly. And that works through any phase of life. That works through any, you know, whether you're dealing with an autoimmune condition. And I can say that confidently because I have one. And I actually forgot my thyroid medication when I was traveling. I texted my sister because she's very, very, very well versed in thyroid function because she's been dealing with this for a long time and has gone to a million different experts. She had her thyroid removed, but it was a long process and it still is for her. And I was just like, I forgot my thyroid medication. Am I going to die? And she was like, how long are you going to be without it? I was like, 2 days. And she was like, oh my God, shut up. anyway, the autoimmune condition, perimenopause, whatever your age is, whatever, doesn't matter. This process works through everything because the foundation that you're building is relevant to your situation. It's not just a foundation that everyone does the same thing. It's relevant to your phase and season of life. And then you can adjust accordingly based off of what you're willing to sacrifice. I want to take a brief pause in this episode to tell you all about Cured Nutrition. Cured travels with me everywhere in my bag, no matter what. If I am traveling for a short couple day trip or if I'm traveling for a long week long vacation, I never go anywhere without Cured. My Serenity gummies are necessary. That is part of my travel essentials. It's like, can't forget your toothpaste, can't forget your Serenity gummies. And the reason is because I value my sleep very, very much, and nothing helps me sleep quite like Serenity gummies. Now, admittedly, sleep issues have been popping up for me over the past year, maybe 2 years. More stress in my life, more anxiety. Has, you know, just something that I never really had to deal with until my, owning my own business and having more pressure on me or putting more pressure on myself. Either way, I have really leaned on Cured for help with anxiety, for help with sleep, just getting my mind into a more peaceful state because my brain tends to race. I have all these ideas and then I wake up and immediately want to start getting them out. But the nice thing is that with the Serenity gummies, it doesn't put you in like this sedative type of state. It is more serene. When they named it Serenity, I think it was perfect. Like, it's a more peaceful, calm. It's not like you're exhausted and can't function. It's very much just a lot of the noise goes away and you're just kind of in this calm, very blissful state. And that helps me fall asleep much easier. I have no issues falling asleep when I take my Serenity gummies from Cured. And then the calm caps really help with anxiety. I also really like the Zen caps and the night caps. If I go through a stretch where I know like I need to get to sleep and I don't want to leave anything up to chance, I will do the Serenity gummies and the night caps. They have the Zen caps and the night caps in a sleep bundle that you can get. If you don't want to try the Serenity gummies, maybe you're a little bit weirded out by the micro dose of THC. If so, that's cool. You can go with the Zen caps and the night caps. The calm caps are perfect for anxiety. And you can even get yourself some CBD treats for your pets. If you go to curednutrition.com/popfam, you get 15% off all of their products, including the bundles, which are already discounted. So if you go to Cured, C-U-R-E-D, nutrition.com/POPFAM, and you use the code POPFAM, POPFAM, use that code at checkout. You get 15% off all of their products. And now let's get back to the episode. So speaking of sacrifice, the way that we are preparing for summer is most people are going through a fat loss phase at the moment. And again, that is just a small deviation from the norm that we've established. So we've been working on building quality habits and those pillars that are in place that make fat loss easier. So making sure that metabolic function is where it needs to be, that we're prioritizing internal health, that we're working on mindset, relationship with food to eliminate any self-sabotage that's gotten in the way in the past. And then we just go through a moderate deficit with an emphasis on a couple things. So here's the main takeaway that you can implement if you are recognizing that time is kind of running out. If you want to get leaner this summer, time is kind of running out. Like you've got a good 8 week to 12 week runway, depending on how much you want to overlap into the summer. I know for me, the reason why I start as early as I do is because like May even is a flexible, May is when we open our pool. So I don't want to be dieting during pool season. But a lot of times people are okay with doing a little bit of dieting throughout May and June even, but everyone's different, but you're running out of time. So 8 to 12 weeks right now, we're well into the summer months. So the first thing is, obviously I've been stressing the importance of the pre-diet, but now we're going to talk about you want to get leaner. Here are a couple things that you can do right now that will give you the biggest return on your time spent. So if you want to maximize the next 8 to 12 weeks, the first thing that I would look at is how many steps you're currently getting. And if you don't know, just pay attention. Look at your phone. Your phone tracks it for you. I don't use an Apple Watch. I just go based off of my phone. Now, is it perfect? Of course not. I don't carry my phone everywhere. Like there's times where I put it down and then I walk around the house. So it's not tracking those steps, but it's okay. It's a consistent measurement and with a consistent way of measuring. So even, let's say your Apple Watch isn't 1000% accurate. It doesn't matter. It's the same metric. It's the same way of measuring. So if you don't know, just look at your phone and now you have a baseline. Look at the past, however long you have a baseline and try to increase it by a decent amount. And I know that's very vague, but it's hard to say because going from 1000 to 2000 is doubling your step count. Going from 2000 to 3000 is a 50% increase. So it's different, right? It's not the same. Even though it's 1,000 steps and 1,000 steps, the relative change is different. What I would look at is if you're not getting 7,500 steps a day, if you're not getting, let's call it 8,000 just for a nice whole number. If you're not getting 8,000 steps per day, work towards that and try it sooner than later. If you can't figure out a way to work that into your schedule and to make that natural and doable, it's going to be an uphill battle. Just, it is. It's going to be an uphill battle because you are leaving a lot of calories on the table. Because walking is one of the best ways to increase your total daily energy expenditure. So if you're already at 8,000 and as an average, bump it up to 10. If you're already at 10, bump it up to 12. If you're already at 12, you maybe could try a little bit more, but probably not necessary. Once you get to that point, you're really at the point of diminishing returns. I can't remember. There was actually a study on this that looked at step counts and the point of diminishing returns. I believe it was 15,000. I could be wrong. I'd have to confirm that with, I think Dr. Mike T. Nelson was the one who posted about that study. I'd have to confirm with him. I'm pretty sure that the point of diminishing returns was 15,000 steps. So you don't have to do that. But again, the point is one of the easiest low-hanging fruit options that you have to make more progress so you can get a little bit leaner before the summer months is just to increase. That should be your first priority. We'll call this one 1A. 1B, protein. Now, when it comes to protein, if you're not tracking your protein, which you don't have to, just go with two high protein meals to start your day. Now, normally I would say, oh, just go with a high protein breakfast. But we're in like serious progress mode here. So we got to do a little bit more. This isn't like the, I'm going to ease my way to, because we don't have time for easing. Again, this is specific. I hope you understand the context here. This is specific for trying to make the most of losing fat for the summer. This is specific. This is not, I'm not talking here about like, I want to show you the most sustainable way of changing behaviors. I'm talking specifically about squeezing all the juice you can out of the fat loss process before summer. And we're running out of time. So that's why I say, normally I would say high protein breakfast to get you started on the right track. Now we're trying to maximize the results. Two back-to-back high protein meals to start your day. And if you don't track it, well, let's first start if you are tracking. If you are tracking, aim for about 30 grams of protein per meal, 25 to 30 grams of protein per meal. For meal one and meal two. If you're not tracking, try to go with a palm to two palm size portions. So if you look at the palm of your hand, one to two, and I say that based off of the size of human that you are. If you are a little bit larger human, two palms. If you're a smaller petite human, one palm. Or you could look at plate size. You could go with like a quarter or a half of your plate full of protein, again, depending on the size of person that you are. But that's either one of those references will work well. But we're just trying to get like, here's why that's so effective. Because number one, it ensures that you're getting much closer to what your body actually needs in terms of protein. Number two, it's going to help you stay full. It's going to help you with satiety. It's going to help you with cravings. It's going to help you with so many different things. To start your day that way, you're less likely to snack or to give in to cravings because you will have less cravings. You're less likely to be like ravenously hungry later on in the day because you've started with two very high protein meals that will help with satiety. It is just an easy, again, if you can't find a way to make that happen, that's a problem that you need to address before you move on. If that's something where you think about it and you're like, oh, I can't do that, that's a problem. And you have to make a decision at that point. You have to just say, this isn't for me. I'm not willing to make a change. Or you have to figure out like what really is getting in the way. Because you could tell me that you're in your car for the first 8 hours of the day. And that still doesn't, to me, that doesn't say anything about your ability to get in two high protein meals. We used to have a running joke at Pop about car chicken. Like we've had people who would literally take Ziploc bags of chicken breast and just eat it with their hands in the car. I'm just saying that the people that know it's important will find a way. It's low hanging fruit. The other thing that you're probably going to want to do, so we've got walking, we've got protein as 1A and 1B. Now we can move on to the third thing, although I don't know how we're numbering this, but the third thing that you might want to do is consider reducing alcohol, you know, like kind of significantly. And this is the one that's always met with so much resistance. I get it. Like I said, I drank over the weekend. I think I had four drinks total. I had two, what I have two Thursday night and then two on Friday. Yeah. So I get it. I have openly said that I enjoy drinking, although I enjoy it less the more that it impacts my recovery because I definitely feel it more than I have, but I still enjoy the act. I enjoy the social dynamic. I enjoy the fact that, you know, for somebody like myself who is way introverted and quiet and shy, like to have a little bit of a boost in some outgoingness is not the worst thing for me. But anyway, that I get it. It's just difficult. It's difficult to lose weight when you're constantly drinking. It just is. It just makes things way more difficult. So you got to pick and choose your battles. If it's worth it to you to cut it out, then do that. If you want to reduce it, then do that. I did a reel this morning on Instagram that was kind of, you know, a little cheeky reel that basically was the comment was like, I don't know why I can't lose weight. It's got to be my hormones. And then there's a GIF that's like a woman pouring wine or getting, she's having, somebody's pouring her wine and the GIF says, keep pouring. And so obviously it's a loop of the wine being poured. And it's like, I don't know why I can't lose weight. Maybe it's my hormones. I mean, I eat pretty clean. It must be my age. All the while it's just pouring and pouring and pouring. And it's like, you know, I track everything. I don't understand it. I can't understand what the problem is. So just, you know, because that I can tell you, that's probably the most common situation when somebody reaches out to me and they tell me all the wonderful things they're doing. Inevitably, we get to the alcohol. Like, that's always the case. I eat really clean. I pay attention to food quality. I work out. I walk. I do all the right things. I don't understand. Maybe it's my hormones. And then we get into alcohol consumption. And it's like, yeah, I drink every day or every weekend is a shit show and whatever. Like, or there's, you know, it's just the weekend, like Friday and Saturday, but it's like four drinks each. Four drinks on Friday and four drinks on Saturday. And we're getting into that territory where it's very difficult. That's not to say that it can't be done. Again, we've had clients who have had 7, 8, 10 drinks a week and still lost weight. It just makes it so much more complicated. It's creating an incline that doesn't need to be there unless you decide that is totally 1000% necessary for you to drink that much and you're okay with the trade-off. Then by all means, the only caveat to that is if you are open and honest and saying, I am not willing to cut back on this at all, then you have to also be open and honest and not sit here and point the finger at anything else. Don't sit there and say, it's this, that, and the other thing. Just own it. I am X amount overweight because I'm not willing to give up my alcohol. That's okay. It's okay to say that. So that's the third thing. And then the last one, just for like tangible action steps here, restaurant food. Again, these are things where I had this happen with a client in the past where she was so meticulous about tracking that she would like find the best possible entry, right? There's tactics when it comes to logging restaurant meals. The easiest one is to find a chain restaurant that has to post their calories and macros. And you kind of work off of that, even if you're not going to a chain restaurant. For example, I know that like Applebee's will have an entry for different things that they have on their menu because they have to. So if I order something at a local restaurant that is not a chain, but it's similar to an item that I would find at like an Applebee's or whatever at a chain restaurant, then I just log that. I log the Applebee's one because I know that at least it's a reference that gets me close enough. Well, I had a client in the past who would do this every time. But here's the thing. There's so much variance from restaurant to restaurant. It's good. And it's a nice way of getting something into MyFitnessPal and accounting for it. Mel always tells the story because she has a really close friend of hers who is a... She has a really close friend of hers who's married to a chef who's like been on the Food Network and is a restaurateur. He's all these different locations, makes really good food. And at one point they had like a party and she got to watch him cook. And she was like, the amount of butter and oil, it was like mind blowing how much she like couldn't even fathom the amount of calories and just the butter and oil that the stuff was cooking in. So keep that in mind. It makes things more complicated. It's really hard to track and account for. And again, I'm saying in the context of we need to get the most out of this process before summer, reduce the amount of restaurant meals. Now, normally, again, I would say we got to figure out how to make this fit, make it work, make it a part of your life. I'm not talking about that context right now. I'm talking about we got goals we got to make this happen in a relatively short timeline. So those are the big things, like action steps right now, right away. Walk more, high protein, especially your first two meals of the day. High protein, especially the first two meals of the day. Cut out or reduce alcohol and cut out or reduce restaurant meals, and you will be well on your way to progress over the next 8-12 weeks or however long is relevant for you. And then the key here is that you're in a vulnerable spot, because you're going to enter a period where there is more flexibility, and you don't want to end up in a position where it's a free for all because you've been, you know, really tightening the reins, and now you're like, all right, I'm just going to YOLO the rest of the summer and gain all of this weight back. Because then we run into the same problem. The problem occurs, I really want you to listen to this. The problem occurs when you have to diet so frequently that you never really set yourself up for sustainable success, because you're always reactionary. It's always like, oh shit, I completely overdid it this summer, so now I have to diet post-summer, right? But then what happens? Typically, it's back to school. Back to school time is one of the most popular times to start dieting again. Why? Because we get back into that normal routine. It was like, oh, it was so crazy with the kids home and they had all this stuff scheduled and we had our family vacation, and like, thank God for back to school because now I have my routine back. Let me start dieting. And then what happens? You diet until when? The holiday season. And then it's another reactionary thing. Then we hit the New Year's resolution. We do things too extremely. And then the New Year's falls off. And then it's like, oh my God, the summer is right around the corner, so let me diet for that. And then the summer is a shit show. You see how this cycle repeats itself year over year? That's the main problem, is that you're always being reactionary. So we never actually have the time to build the sustainable path, because we're always reacting. We're reacting to the summer. We're reacting to the holidays. We're reacting to the New Year's fall off. Like, what if most of the year was proactive? That's what we do. When I talk about what we're doing for our clients right now, it's nothing extreme, because we've been proactive. And now it's just a gradual ease them into fat loss, ease them out of fat loss, help them with how much flexibility they can enjoy, how to not allow a vacation or a week-long getaway or a weekend getaway or the summer holidays to get in the way of progress. It's very simple when you have been proactive instead of reactive. It's a much more effective strategy. And it's difficult, because I used to live in the reaction cycle, always dieting, never really looking the way that I wanted to, never feeling the way that I wanted to. And now I'm in the complete opposite position. Like, I can have the weekend YOLO moments and just ease my way back into right now is my reverse. But knowing that I can not have any damage done, I can stay consistent because my normal is established, and it's just the way that my brain processes things now. I don't have to sit there and think like, how the hell am I going to get my steps in? How the hell am I going to get my protein in? It's all just it's just default. Just by turn, like waking up, right? Like, I just opened up my hard drive. It just happened. It just runs. It runs that playbook. That's the objective. That's what we're trying to get to. So I get it. This might not be the exact moment that you're ready for that. You might need to push things a bit faster than I would normally recommend. That's okay. Just be very mindful of the slingshot. Just be very mindful of the boomerang. We don't want it to snap back hard in the other direction. So if you do push the envelope a little bit to get a little bit leaner for the summer, just recognize and be aware that you will be in a more vulnerable, susceptible place. Also, why I recommend having a coach. When left to your own devices, you will probably be reactionary. You will probably let the emotions get the best of you. That's normal. That's human. the proactive thing would be, I need to get myself some accountability. I need to get myself some support. I need to get myself a coach. That would be the proactive thing. The people that think ahead, that know their own tendencies, that want to set themselves up for success, they don't play the game of let me wait and see. They know I need to get the help that I deserve. I'm going to find the right coach for me and I'm going to make it happen. If that's you, if that's the way that you think, if you think that it would be more advantageous to think ahead, to be proactive, to do this the right way, and you want to see if we can help, if we're a good fit, there's plenty of coaches out there. I'm happy to refer out. I do that all the time. But if you think that we might be a good fit based off of our message and our philosophy and what you know how we operate, you can go to neurotypetraining.com/apply. That's neurotypetraining.com/apply. NEUROTYPE training.com/apply. Fill out an application, see if it's a good fit. Worst case scenario is it's not, and I can refer out or I can at least point you in the right direction. So hopefully this was helpful. And let me know if you have questions. Hit me up on Instagram @coach_Mike_Milner, and I will talk to you next time.